You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. As you can hear from the nighttime insects starting to sing all around me, yes, I am in the Amazon jungle once again at the Ayahuasca Medicine Center in my little isolation camp in Dieta. I'm swinging in my hammock right now, enjoying the early evening air. So this Dieta I'm in this time around, it's a little bit different than what I've done in the past. No ayahuasca this time. That's a first for me. Definitely makes things a little more boring and a little less powerful because you don't have these psychedelic punches in the face every 2 days. Only master medicine this time, which is a lot more subtle than ayahuasca. Definitely has more of a physical impact than the ayahuasca, but more subtle overall. This is what Maestro prescribed. I am his apprentice. I do as he says. So, what I wanted to talk about today is healers. So in the past on the podcast, especially over the last 2 years or so, healing and healers has been a very frequent topic that I've touched on here and there in many different ways. But I never sat down and really talked about what defines a healer. So when you think about the word healer, most people will think about doctors, right? Maybe a dentist, surgeons, maybe a therapist. In the West, when we think healer, we tend to think a medicinal practitioner. And if you've explored other cultures, you may be a person that also thinks about the medicine men, about the acupuncturists, about the Reiki healers, all sorts of different modalities of healing out there. But again, kind of is connected to the medical field, right? Working with the body, using medicines of different cultures to heal. And yeah, those are all healers. But it goes beyond that. The fact is, anybody that takes action that heals is a healer. And healing isn't always about, you know, curing cancer or healing the body. Healing the mind, as a therapist does, is also a healing, right? A therapist will use words, sometimes medicine, probably more often than they should, medicine. But centrally, a therapist will use words to help a person work through issues, whatever knots they've got going on in their mind. And they'll do that by listening and by giving advice. So a conversation can be healing. It doesn't have to be a medicinal thing, but that is still medicine. Still in the realm of words, you've got, for example, good investigative reporters that are out there sniffing out problems in society, sniffing out corruption, and reporting it, trying to expose it to truth, to the light of truth, and trying to motivate people to demand change, to demand correction of these issues. So there, you're not healing a person. You're using words, you're using video or audio or whatever tools that reporter will use to move people to heal their society. That's a healer too. And then moving beyond words and a little more into abstract sounds, you've got musicians, you've got singers. The music that people gravitate to, the kind of music people like, is music that does something good to your heart, right? That does something good to your soul while you listen to it. That's medicine too. That's healing. They're healers. And look, sometimes there's music that breaks your heart. Sometimes there's music that brings up other emotions that aren't pleasant. But what'll you do when you're depressed, you want to cry, you're sad about, you know, a breakup or something? Most people will put on some heartbreaking music to help them cry. That's a healing. That is healing music. They're like these different pills that you can pick and choose based on what kind of energy you want, based on the way that it moves you personally, and you can pick and choose which energy you want delivered to you in any moment. That's a healer. That's medicine. It's just in a different form than what we think of as medicine. So as you can see, I'm trying to expand your mind here, expand your view of what is healing, what is medicine, and what is a healer. And expanding more into art, you've got painters, you've got artists of all kinds you've got poets, you've got storytellers, also are healers. For example, look at storytellers. What does almost every story out there boil down to? Almost every movie you've ever seen, every great drama, the typical standard story that we tend to gravitate to and want. It's a story of an illness. Everything's kind of fine, or things are bad to begin with. There's struggle, there's all this work, there's all this conflict. The good people come in to fight the bad people, and they go at it, and it looks bad, looks like everything's gonna fail. That's the way we like it, right? We like that drama. But in the end, what tends to always happen? Healing. The healers win, and the sickness loses. Now that is a story of medicine. And we listen to it all the time. We regurgitate it. We want to hear that story in every story. Whenever there's a story where the bad guys win, how do people feel? They feel, what happened here? This isn't right. I don't like this feeling. It's because we're looking for medicine. It's the story of healing. It's the story of medicine every time. So writers, poets, artists, all of that stuff, they tend to be healers as well, because that's what people want. They don't want bad ending. They don't want the bad image. They want the inspiring image. They want the healing image. They want the healing story. And then you've got the peacemakers. You've got people that come into a situation in life, whether it be a big global situation or just an everyday family situation. You've got people that are aligned towards resolving conflict, not spurring it on, not hiding it and letting it keep going under the surface. They want to resolve things. And when they enter a situation that has conflict, they will do everything in their power to bring peace to the situation. Of course, fellow human, peace is healing. When you are healed, you are in a state of peace. And I've seen it myself so many times in my own healing journey. When you are healed, you feel at peace. When there is illness, you feel at war. So peacemakers are absolutely healers, moving things towards peace. Now in all of these different modalities, all of these different styles and tools and techniques and ways to heal, of course what defines, what unites every healer is that they are healing. They enter a situation and leave it better. But another defining factor between all of them, all of the good ones, all of the real ones, is that they work with truth. They're not liars, they're truth tellers. A peacemaker is a truth teller. An artist is a truth teller. A musician is a truth teller. A therapist is a truth teller. Good priests, good shamans, good people of spirit, good medicine men, good doctors are not going to lie to you. They're going to work with truth. And of course, also love. Every good healer out there is working with a will to improve humanity, to improve the state of the people they touch, to leave things healthier after they leave. That only comes when you work with love. You can't leave a situation better by coming into it with hate and coming into it with lies. A true healer works with truth, and that's because truth is always healing. Even when it's ugly, even when it hurts, even when it's tough, truth is always healing. It's always better than a lie. Living in truth is always healthier than living in a lie. And when it comes to love, fellow human, I don't have to explain. You can never go wrong with love. So that takes us to the opposite. I've already been touching on it a bit. The harmers. Harmers are the opposite of a healer. They work with lies, and they work with fear. So we're talking about the war makers, we're talking about the killers, we're talking about the fear mongers, we're talking about the manipulators, the users, the abusers. We're talking about good investigative reporters trying to expose the problems out there in society. The opposite of that is the corrupt reporter who works for the system, for a corrupt system, and just works to cover it up, to make it seem okay, to make you forget, or to distract you. to show you another thing. Hey, look over there. Don't look at this problem. I'm paid to protect this problem. Those are harmers. We've got everybody else in a position of trust in society who abuses that trust, like a corrupt cop, a corrupt politician, a corrupt priest. What makes them corrupt? What makes them corrupt is that they work with lies and fear, and they leave a situation worse, not better. Those are the harmers. So there's the basic dynamic between healers and harmers. And of course, the universe always balances out. There are probably as many harmers out there as there are healers, and they're always working against each other. Harmers are out there causing harm, healers are out there healing the harm, and we're just in this big boiling pot, all of us together, right? That's life. So, why am I describing all of this? Well, first of all, so you'll be aware, right? So in life out there, you'll keep an eye out for who's working with truth and love versus who's working with lies and fear. Immediately, you can identify the healers and the harmers without even knowing what they do. Just by seeing how they do, you know what they are. And yep, you're surrounded by both of them. And since we're all in this big boiling pot together, we're all surrounded by healers and harmers. Some of us are healers. Some of us are harmers. So which one are you, fellow human? If you're listening to this podcast, if you've been enjoying the kind of content I share, I could venture a guess that you're probably a healer. And the only question is, what kind of healer are you? Well, that's a very personal quest to figure out. It all comes down to figuring out in every situation, what can I do here that could make this situation better? When you're at work, when you're with your family, when you're out around with strangers in the city, in every moment, the idea is to watch, what can I do here? Why am I here? If there's a problem, am I able to resolve it? Well, the fact is, the average person out there, the average everyday person, is a little bit of both. Sometimes a healer, sometimes a harmer. When you're happy, maybe you're a healer. When you're pissed off, maybe you become a harmer. When it's convenient for you, maybe you're a healer. When you want things to go your way, maybe you're a harmer. I mean, a lot of people are going back and forth, but there are people out there who are born or who are just made to be one or the other in a more extreme way. And that's where you get what we tend to call a healer or a harmer, someone who is pushing themselves, who is consciously trying to improve themselves in one or the other direction. But once in a while, all over the world, all the time, there are people born who are born to be healers, to be more than just an average person wobbling back and forth between healing and harming. But they are made, it's in their hearts, it's in their very fabric. They are made to be a healer out there. They want to help this world get better, and they can't help it. Usually they can't help it. When it's meant to be, they can't stop it. And sometimes that could lead to a very difficult life for a person as they're trying to figure themselves out. They've got this want, they want to help, but they don't know how they particularly can help. Sometimes they want this huge way to help, and they don't realize the little ways they can help, that they're already helping, but they're not improving that little way of helping because they're focusing on the big, I want to save the world, right? And they don't notice, I can save people here and there around me, and I am saving people here and there. And if I only noticed the gift that I have, which isn't necessarily medicine, which isn't necessarily music, or any of these other things I described, but a thing that you are good at, that heals. That's all that counts, is that it makes things better. So, fellow human, are you a healer? Do you want to help this world? Is that what you have in your heart? Then the next step is figuring out what it is you have that can help that. And if it's just a little thing, so what? A little healing is still healing. Do it and work on doing it more and work on growing it and becoming better at it. And you know what happens when you do that? You start discovering other talents you have that connect to that. You start growing into other areas and realizing other things you can do, other powers that you have, other gifts that you have that can heal. And you know, a weird thing happens, fellow human, when a person decides to really attack this in their life, to really try and grow the potential they feel they have as a healer and try to explore what their limits are, try to explore the depth of what they can do to help heal this world, a weird thing happens. You start to be presented with situations to practice. If you're open to it, if you're watching for it, it'll come. Because the fact is, the opportunities are around you every day. Every day, each of us is presented with a situation they can help heal or harm, and we make our choice. And a lot of people just ignore it, and they choose to do nothing. But a person who's engaged in the healing path, who's looking to heal, will start to see it everywhere. There's something I can heal. There's someone I can help. Here's a situation I can fix. And so they'll just pop up everywhere. And the deeper you move into healing, into becoming a healer, the weirder and deeper these situations will become, and the more complex and deeply coincidental these deliveries of patients will be. So let me talk a little bit about my own path. Of course, I talk so much about healing. I'm over here apprenticing with plant medicine and ayahuasca. Naturally, I'm a healer. I've always been a healer. But for most of my life, I didn't realize it. And in my ayahuasca path back in 2014, I had the awakening as a healer. Specifically, it was about becoming an ayahuasca healer. I realized, wow, if I can heal myself with this work, I could stop there and go back to my life. You know, thanks ayahuasca, thanks medicine. Or I could become medicine. I could become walking medicine because I'm no longer sick. And I'm full of good medicine, of good energy, of good lessons that I can share. I could become a healer. And so for a while, that was my vision, my sentence in my head. I want to become a healer. So I am working with ayahuasca. But eventually, I had another aha moment of, oh God, I've always been a healer. I just didn't know it. I just didn't see it. I just didn't accept it. And that's why I'm sharing this right now. That's why I'm talking about all of this stuff right now. I'm hoping to wake up some healers out there. Because we need the healers. We need more healers. We need bigger healers. This world needs healing. But anyway, I realized that for my whole life, I was a healer because I always had a harsh dedication to truth. Even if it made me brutally honest. Truth. And of course, love. Right? Most of us good people out there want to love and want to be loved and don't want conflict, don't want hate. But specifically the medicine that I had had for a very long time and had been using without realizing was my voice, was my words. Something like a therapist, right? But deeper than that, because I'm not trained. I'm not a trained therapist. I don't know half of the stuff that a therapist knows about what to say, what not to say, how to analyze this, how to analyze that. Doesn't matter. Here's my therapy. Here's the way I do it. Step one, listen when people are speaking to you. And specifically listen for the moments where they're exposing something. Because every once in a while in a conversation with a person, especially if they feel you're a healer, people will open up to you in ways that they wouldn't open up to anybody else because you've got a vibe, you've got an inviting spirit, you've got an understanding vibe about you. And they feel, maybe this person will understand. And so every once in a while, in everyday conversation with coworkers or random people on the street sometimes, just people I'm conversing with here and there, people would have a moment where they expose something sensitive. And I would recognize it, right, with my healer's eyes, because I'm paying attention. I'd recognize, here's a moment. This person is opening up. Shut up. Don't say anything. Let it happen. And so I'd be patient and let them say it, let them express whatever it is they're expressing. And then when they're done, I would know, because I was listening with an open heart. I've suffered myself, I've been through a lot of hard things, I've been chasing truth all my life, I'm full of truth, I'm full of wisdom. And so it would be easy, it would pop up on its own. Here's the wisdom, here's the truth, here's the words that this person needs. That has been one of my gifts as a healer. I don't have to think about it. It's just clear. This is the prescription for what this person just told you. And so I would deliver it. And I cannot tell you how many times over the last bunch of years as I've been honing this without even realizing it, where they open up, I deliver the medicine, and they end up crying in front of me. And it doesn't matter if we're in a crowded coffee shop, if we're in a restaurant, if it's extremely embarrassing to be crying in that moment, the person will cry because the healing just happened. That's what they needed. That's what they've needed maybe for a long time until they meet me, a healer who crossed them in their life and saw that here is a healing moment where I can do what I do to help. So a healer walks around all the time watching out for those situations, especially a person who's trying to work on their craft. You have to watch for those moments because life will bring them all the time. There are things you need a teacher for, but for being basically a healer out there, you don't need a teacher. Life is your teacher. The universe is your classroom. And it's just about being a good student, watching for the opportunities, and practicing. You can learn on your own. So let me move this in a different direction for a while. There's a story I want to share. I guess you can call it maybe an advanced example of what I'm describing here. And at the same time, I'm going to be moving from the verbal healing that I described, that is a skill that I've already got, to the skills that I've been developing working with ayahuasca and plant medicines. And that is energy healing. Now, I was surprised when I came to ayahuasca and discovered, especially as I start moving into apprenticeship, just how much energy work there is going on around ayahuasca and plant medicine work with these shamans. It's not just drinking the plant. There is energy channeling happening there. And as skeptical as I know most average Western people are about energy and woo-woo stuff like that, the more I move forward into this, the more I see there really is something to it. So maybe this example will give you some food for thought. So on this day, many months back, I was just hanging out with a friend. He had invited me to go to this seedy bar slash pool hall that he likes to hang out at. I'd been there before, didn't really like the place, but I was down in the dumps, I was pretty depressed, I just needed to be with somebody out there. So when he invited me to go, I thought, yeah, let's go. So we get on his motorcycle, and off we go. And as we're driving, I had a sleeveless shirt on. This is going to sound a little weird, but it's important to the story. And as I glanced over to my shoulders on his motorcycle, I realized, damn it, forgot to shave my shoulders. Yes, I'm a white guy, I'm a French guy. As I'm aging, hair is popping up all over the place. I got some on my shoulders. I like to shave it off. Sometimes I don't catch it in time. And this was one of those days. I felt really self-conscious when I saw that. I thought, damn it, I feel so gross. Blech. That was the feeling. I felt like bleh. Like this hunch came over my back. And I was thinking, how dumb is that? Because look, you're a healthy guy. All of your body is in the right shape. You don't have any amputations or anything. You're a standard healthy human. And you're at least average looking. Some people say you're good looking. And look at you, looking at these little imperfections on your body and letting that get you down and feeling bleh. I felt the way that I was wearing it like a cloak, right? Like a coat. It was a thing, a character coming over me. And I was thinking, man, you don't need that. You don't need to do that. And think how terrible it would be to be stuck in that character entirely. Not just to feel it, but to be it. If you, like, for example, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, right? Poor guy. And as the story tells you, he's this great guy. But he's stuck inside this bleh, right? See, eventually you own it. You just bleh, I'm just bleh, I'm gross, right? So anyway, that kind of stream of thought was going through my head, specifically with the thought of this bleh character, right? And thank God I'm not that. Be happy that you're not that. Don't let it get you down that there are imperfections. People have it worse out there. And so eventually we get to the pool hall, and we sit around the table with a bunch of people I don't know, I don't really like their vibe, but they're passing a marijuana joint around. That's good enough for me. So I smoke with these guys a little bit. And pretty soon, another guy appears. Now, this guy was visibly odd. He had short limbs. He was short in general. His body sort of had weird proportions. And as he sat down and I looked at him, I thought, something with his face, right? And as he started speaking, I realized this guy had Down syndrome. But he had that Down syndrome look, right? There is that look, that structure that they seem to have to their face, to their body. He had that. And as he was speaking, and his words were just, bleh, 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 I don't want to make fun of him, but that's how, bleh, 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 that's how he would talk. I realized, this guy has Down syndrome or something. This is the guy I was just thinking about. Stuck in this body, poor guy, right? That can't be an easy life. Although I was thinking this good thing about him, I couldn't really connect with him. First of all, I'm not an expert in Spanish, but secondly, I don't think he was speaking Spanish. I mean, the other guys could understand what he was saying, but they told me, don't even try, he speaks very weird. So I couldn't really connect with him, and I was just kind of a little uncomfortable around him because of this. And as they passed the marijuana joint around to him, looked like he wanted to smoke, looked like he smoked with them all the time. And as I'm observing the situation, the social dynamic between these people, I noticed that they were kind of making fun of him. The way they were treating him, they're calling him el mongolo, the idiot or the retard, right to his face. And they're laughing at him, they're poking fun at him. He's almost like the whipping boy for these people, right? I'm thinking, man, you're in a bad situation, my friends. Right? This is not a good dynamic for you. And so, of course, as a person aligned towards healing, the intent was, I wish I could make this better for this guy, but I don't know how to make it better, right? What can I say in this moment? I don't really know. I don't see it. I don't see my opening. So I just don't do anything. I don't say anything. And then he starts poking me, trying to get my attention. And so I look at him. What's up? He's trying to talk to me. I don't understand any of it. And the guys are laughing, retard, what are you doing? Don't bother him. But I'm waiting. All right, what's going on here? Let's try and figure out what he's trying to say, because obviously this guy wants to say something. So I pay attention, I turn to him. And through miming, through motions and pointing, he basically tells me this. Everybody abuses me. He had a lot of dents and scrapes and stuff, but he's pointing on his shin at this big dent, this big scabbed dent that he has on his shin, and he mimes a person throwing a rock at him. So he's telling me, the stranger that he doesn't know, he's reaching out to me as if he knows that I can do something. He says, when I walk down the street, people are throwing rocks at me. Poor guy, right? So I couldn't take it anymore. What can I do? I don't know what to say. We can't communicate. Let me do energy. So I disconnect from the whole social situation. I sort of go into my own headspace. And in that moment, all I could do, all I could think of doing, was bringing the medicine. I don't know what medicine. I just know I'm connected to something. And in this moment, as it flows into me, I divert it to him. I point it at him. And the only intention I put out was bring him what he needs. So this channel of energy is coming through me, sideways to him, and I leave it at that. God, spirits, magic, energies, I don't know, whatever it is I do that I have, that I'm learning to do, bring it to him, because he needs it. Maybe 5 minutes later, he gets up and casually walks off. Maybe he's going to the bathroom, I don't know, I wasn't really watching him anymore. I just did what I was going to do, and that's as much as I can do right now. And maybe 2 minutes after that, I catch on to the fact that behind me somewhere, I've been hearing vomiting for a while. Just this. Just all this coughing, vomiting. Somebody is really freaking vomiting back there. And so I look behind me, and there he is. This guy, off to the side, down in a ditch, vomiting. Leaning over, putting his hands on the wall, just having some deep, deep vomit. And not long after that, the other guys noticed it too, and they start going, hey, retard, what's going on over there? Yeah, you okay, man? But I knew right away what was going on behind me. What was going on behind me was ayahuasca purging. There wasn't necessarily vomit coming out of this guy. Half of what I was hearing was retching, was releasing, was all of this shit coming out of this guy. And I realized, well, there's the medicine at work. There's the energy I brought him. He is vomiting out right now all of this gunk, all of this pain, all of this toxic stuff that he's built up in himself because of this poor life that he's living. And so, as I kept an ear on him over the next minutes, and I realized just really how deep this vomit, this retching, this stuff was coming out of him. I mean, it was almost at the level where you wanted to say, man, do you need a doctor? Do you need a hospital? Are you okay? Because it just wasn't stopping. It seemed like he had even trouble breathing. I did more energy work. I went into my space, and I just did what I felt needed to happen. And what needed to happen in that moment, what I gave him in that moment, two angels and light from God, a beam of light from above shining on him. I didn't know why I did this. This is just what he needed. And I brought it to him. I sent it to him. Two spirits on each side of him and light from above. God protect this guy living this difficult life, being mistreated by everybody, living in a toxic environment. Poor guy. Help him. It was with love. So, eventually his purging stopped. He waddled over to us, picked up his stuff, just quietly left. He went home, probably to sleep or something after that kind of intense vomit. Yeah. Never really saw him again. I don't know what happened to him. But I know that that moment was a healing. And that his life is somehow better after meeting me. He knew that I could help him. He felt it. And just like so many other people who could clearly speak to me in the past, he reached to me. Help me, I feel help here. I gave him the help. But nobody knows what happened. Nobody knows that I sent this energy to him. Nobody knows that I gave him two angels and light from God. Only I know that. Energy healing is more quiet that way. It's not physical. And I don't know how it works yet. All I know is it works. And I'm learning more and more how to work with it. And it's so much to do with instinct. In both of those things I did, sending him the energy, I've done that before, moving the channel towards him, asking for healing to come to that person. That I've done before. But the angels and the light from God came out of nowhere. That's what he needed. That's what I gave him. So, to a lot of people out there, what I just described might sound crazy, but I'm sure that guy never vomited like that from marijuana, and I'm sure that guy feels a lot better. And maybe, in life, going forward, he's got two guardians, and he's got the light of God. This is the weird life of a healer. There are all kinds of healers out there, working in all kinds of visible and invisible ways. And as I said earlier, I hope that somehow, everything I just described will help to awaken some healers out there, to wake you up out of doubt and into action and into growing and into exploring what you are. You know it. If you're a healer, you resonated with a lot of what I just said. And if you've been hesitating, stop hesitating. Start moving. Start growing. This is a time for healers. We need every healer we can have out there right now because this is a very dark time in humanity's history. We're on the verge of a war. You realize that? We're on the verge of World War III at the moment. We are all living in that moment right now. And what stops a war isn't falling into fear and lies. It's in truth and love and in healers mobilizing. And in their little lives, even if it's small little healings, it affects the world. And the more of those people we have awake, the better. And there's an image that I was thinking about when preparing this episode. Harry Potter. Now that's a pretty popular movie. I'm pretty sure you all know what I'm talking about. That scene in Harry Potter where that really important figure dies. And there's that big ghostly skull in the sky over everybody. And everybody points their wands to the sky with their little light, but all of them together create this huge light that dispels the big evil, right? That's how it works. By the way, J.K. Rowling, completely a healer.
There's a couple of thanks I forgot to deliver, fellow human, while recording this episode. First of all, thank you to Marijuana. Marijuana, as I've been exploring this energetic modality, definitely opens up the channels, definitely opens up the ability to sense these moments and deliver these moments, and marijuana was present there in both of us, and it was definitely a hugely important factor in what happened there. If we weren't both smoking marijuana together in that moment, I don't think I would have been able to deliver that to him, and I don't think he would have been able to receive it as powerfully as he did. Credit where credit is due, marijuana definitely helped that moment happen. You know, marijuana gets kind of a bad rap, it gets kind of a very pedestrian rap, but it is a very powerful medicinal tool, just like ayahuasca, just like mushrooms, just like psychedelics. In my opinion, it is on the psychedelic spectrum, just really low. And for someone sensitive to energy, someone developing these sensitivities and abilities, marijuana definitely is a useful tool, as it was in that moment. And at the end of this episode, which I'm about to wrap up, I forgot to thank my Patreon patrons. So thank you to my Patreon patrons supporting me over here in Peru, especially Mr. X, who has been the most generous, amazing, supportive, and involved patron so far.
So, fellow human, that's it for this one. As always, you could find every other episode of this podcast over at higherideas.net, along with contact info, donation info. It's all over there at higherideas.net. I hope you'll check it out. So, fellow human, until next time, keep thinking.